What an honour. Every week he joins us. Hello, Rich Uncle Mal.
Good morning to you. Hello to you, Ed, Marto and Robin. Always a pleasure, never a chore.
Ed's not here after he won his two Logies. He had on a bit of a bender and he couldn't turn up today, Prime Minister.
Of course, he's one drink a year, so he'll probably be sitting in the fetal position for a while.
So what did you do for Anzac Day?
Well, I took the time, of course, to commemorate those who had paid the ultimate price. And by that, I don't mean the all-you-can-eat buffet at the Grand Hyatt, though that is quite pricey. I visited our troops in the Middle East. The New Zealand troops welcomed me with a haka. I don't know whether you saw that on the telly.
Oh, yes.
And I thought, why don't we have some kind of ceremonial dance to intimidate the enemy? Yeah. I mean, screaming obscenities from a utility and flashing a brown eye. Hardly a cultural exchange, are they? Mind you, I wouldn't mind seeing the Wallabies try it in the next World Cup, coming out in a ute. Look up here, brown eye, brown eye. I'm getting creative this morning.
Oh, you are,
enjoying
Rich Uncle
myself thoroughly.
Okay, Peter Dutton recently celebrated 1,000 days without an illegal arrival. He seems pretty smug.
Well, doesn't he, Robbo? I mean, he's got a little smirk on his potato head face. Old Mr. Potato Head. Listen, it's easy when you just don't tell people about it. If it's one thing that Captain Flatulent Scott Morrison did right, it was making the whole thing a secret military operation. Genius. And I think we should do the same with federal politics. No more questions, no more reporting. Very North Korea. You know, Kim Jong Turnbull does have a bit of a ring to it, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Hey, your predecessor, can I talk about him? Tony Abbott. They say he's making a boxing comeback. What do you reckon?
Well, I think it's a preposterous suggestion, and as loath as I am to use the term fake news, I think it's fake news. Mind you, if the Manly Ferry can't get the Mad Monk, hopefully Senator Chisholm from Queensland can. I mean, really, how much longer do I have to put up with the crab-walking, tight-skinned, bike-riding man that he is? And I hope he does take Chisholm in the ring and gets knocked out cold.
Oh, now, is there a song you're singing at the moment? I do love that when you sing to us.
Well, thank you very much, Robin. I enjoy crooning away. And because it was Anzac Day this week, I've been singing Only 19. And Townsville line the footpaths as we march down to the quay. And the clipping from the paper shows us strong and young and clean. And there's me in me slouch hut with me SLR and greens. God help me, I was only 19. And as a tribute to our fighting men and women, and before I go, I just wanted to say the Triple M rocks Archerfield. Good on you guys.
Yes. Lovely.
Yes, Mal.
See ya.
Thank you, sir.
Indeed. Bye now.
I so wish Ed was here because amazing news in the last few days, not just for fans of I'm a Celebrity, Get You Out of Here or Get Me Out of Here.
It's
but,
all over ages ago.
Yeah, but Sephora has been on the project and made a massive announcement.
Do you have to call her by that name? Call her a proper name. Kate, what's her name?
Kate.
Kate Fisher.
Okay, yeah. She's changed her name by Depol, so actually Sephora is her proper name.
Yep. No, it's not. That's a silly name.
Anyway, do you want to hear this? This is quite the revelation because
Hold on, just remind everybody because I'm driving along and I don't know who Sephora or Kate Fisher is. She was a model and married to James Packer. That's the one, isn't it?
Engaged.
And
then engaged to James Packer.
Oh, right. And she got a lot of money for that.
She got, in the separation, she took $2 million, went over to America, got done over by a guy over there, lost everything, joined, I think, the Jewish religion,
all of that. Put on a heap of weight and
changed
lately
her name.
She's been working in an aged care facility.
Yeah, and living in hostels. Anyway, her next big break was I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. And a lot of people got very passionate about her because she talked heaps about the fact that she was single. Anyway, the news out of the project is this.
So you're together?
What's happened to you?
Straight after the Jungle Oz, right down
really?
There.
So you've got
my
a filler.
My 6-year drought is over.
Oh, yeah.
Is she talking about what I think she's talking about?
Yeah, she is.
How many years?
6. Hmm. That's good news. That's great news. If Sephora can find herself, and this bloke she met when she was 15, he then went off to the Navy, had to be discharged for post-traumatic stress.
Well, it's an old boyfriend.
Kinda. And then there was a nasty photo of her in Woman's Day last year. He got in contact with her on Facebook. They started to kind of, you know, talk to each other. But then after the Jungle, look at that.
Mm. Wow.
6 years.
6 years between drinks.
Yeah. Mm. What? Is that a lot?
A fair bit. I think it's a fair bit.
Do you reckon there'd be people that could beat that?
No.
Really?
Surely not.
I don't know, 1-3-3-5-3. I'm sure there are. I know lots
this
of people.
This is uncomfortable
that don't
to talk about.
A little bit.
No one will ring.
You reckon?
Well, hold on. I'm saying to you, if somebody's listening right now and they haven't had one in 6 years, they're not going to go, whoa. Like, it's not as
well,
if
no, but there may be
I
a
drank
very good reason.
53 beers on the way to London. That's what it's not a well, record you want to boast about.
Okay, so how about I know a mate
yeah
who hasn't.
Who's gone 7 years without one.
Yeah. Do you notice that we're not actually saying it for any kids in the car?
Yeah.
You know, so you know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
1-3-3-5-3.
Bit of slap and tickle if you're wondering.
No one will ring.
Come on, they will.
We better ring after the song, get ready to talk about something else because no one's going to ring and
yes,
go,
they
oh,
will.
I went 10 years without it.
Yeah, there could be good goodness reason. They might be all proud of it.
Who'd be proud of that? Oh, maybe. Hello, Reverend.
What's your longest dry spell? And I think we all know what we're talking about.
All right, let's get back to it. No one rang, did they?
Yes, they did. We've
full
got
board
a full board of
we
calls.
Oh,
Matt
no
of Runcorn. 6 years is the record so far. How long?
Up to 7 so far. Still going.
Oh,
7 years,
Matt.
No sessions.
That's correct.
Why not?
I don't know. No idea.
Friend-zoned?
Okay. Yeah, is that too? Yeah. Heaps of that.
Okay, so it's not for lack of trying.
No, that's not bad, for sure, for sure.
So you're going out on dates?
Trying to. If I get to that stage, you know, I get friend zoned before you get to the date stage, so yeah.
So how are you doing it? Are you on Twitter? Are you on RSVP?
On everything and get nothing. So I don't know how these things work except for taking your money.
Okay, Matt, I have to ask this because it is the elephant in the room.
What? Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Nothing by the sounds. You
no
sound lovely.
I am. Thanks.
Well, where do you get them?
Try for a different sort of woman there, Matt. I used to get friend zoned a lot, and you look
what
outside.
Your,
the,
what was your problem?
Too nice. Mm. I'm sure you are. The
you sound
yeah,
too nice,
that's
Matt.
That's exactly it. I'm too nice, and I've got to be one of those guys that's not very nice. And I mean, that's
no, no, no. Don't do that. No, you don't, Brendan. You are now engaged. You're soon to be married. What did you do that changed that you can help Matt?
You just find the right woman. Honestly, there's no rhyme or reason to it. They come along and
something
you find
just
them.
Happens.
Yeah, it just happens, Matt. So you know. Hang in there, brother.
Good luck.
But the good thing is, at this stage, you've got the record. So.
You sound like an absolute sweetie, Matt. That doesn't sound fair at all. Angela of New Farm.
Ain't nobody going to beat 7 years, are they?
Let's see. Angela.
Hi. Yes, I beat 7 years well and truly. Going for 10 between drinks.
Oh. Okay. At present, or this is in the past?
No, this is at present.
We might give you Matt's number. It could be one hell of a night.
Wouldn't it?
So tell us why, Ange.
It's just family matters with parents getting terminal illnesses and being very unwell. And, you know,
but
you
10
really
years,
don't
Ange
have the energy. Well, yeah, 4 years passing away and then my mum has a health issue and in and out of hospitals before. So it's just been ongoing. However, it's all resolved now.
Oh.
And I hope the universe has that little hottie waiting for me.
Yes.
There we go. That's the spirit. Bring him to you.
Till then.
He will. He'll show up when he's meant to. Mm.
Good on you, Angela. Well,
good news. You've got the record now. That's wonderful.
10 years. Thanks, Ange.
Anyone else?
Good luck. Robert of Redbank Plains. Can you beat 10 years?
I can. I've had a 17-year drought, so to speak.
Wow.
And after I separated with my ex-wife, looking after the kids and whatnot, it took a
no
lot
time
of time. And it was, yeah, it was too hard to get emotionally involved with anyone. It wasn't until I got older that I found that I could actually, you know, get on with it, so to speak, and get very involved. So found myself a nice lady now. And
oh, good.
Yeah, kids are happy.
And so the drought is over?
Yes. Still trying to catch up for lost time, but
okay. Oh, better ask for anyone who's wondering. Do you forget anything?
I would say no, but I'm sure that if someone met me before and after, they would say yes.
Yeah, you're almost retired there, 17 years.
Yeah, well, I'm getting hints from the kids.
Oh dear,
yeah, that
I'm not sure
I'd
want to have that conversation with my children. Is it a bit awkward?
Oh, incredibly. You know, the son is all right, you know. I mean, he's more my mate than anything else.
Yeah, but your daughter.
Yeah, no.
I don't want to hear from her, no.
I agree. so glad the drought is over. Robert, 17 years, you are holding the record.
No,
if you are looking for more action as well, Robert, I'd say talk to your wife on your new partner on the phone a bit more too, because you've got a smooth voice, brother. Am I getting in the mood there?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Let's go, Robert.
One more.
Okay, Teresa of Beenleigh, we're sitting at 17 years. Can you beat that for a drought between special couples?
Fortunately, I can. Cool. I don't know if this is good or bad. I'm going for 23, and I was hoping you'd go for one more to try and beat me. I don't want to hold the record, but anyway.
133353. If it's been more than 23 years since you had a sesh, give us a yell.
Why, Teresa? There must be a reason.
Married young. Husband went off, did what husbands occasionally do. Family radio, obviously. And I just didn't want to put myself in that position again. And also got raised staunch Catholic. So, you know, bit of a dated a couple of times, but.
So what are you going to do, Teresa?
Well, I don't know. Just keep going.
So are you looking for someone?
No, not really.
You're happy with this. You're happy with the way your life's going?
I am. I have lots of good friends. Party and I don't have to revolve my timetable around anyone else.
That's true.
Okay. So, yeah. So if someone were to appear, then that would be a good thing?
Oh, maybe.
Okay.
Absolutely, Teresa. And what we will do is Alien Covenant is coming out. It's in cinemas May 11. When you do find that special person, take them along to the movies. You never know what happens in a cinema.
Well, we all were at that age once.
23
True
years.
True enough.
All, right. All the best,
babe.
Teresa. Thank you very much.
Yeah, good luck.
Can we just return to Matt? Let's remember you were the first phone call. You there, Matt?
Yep.
7 years, mate. That's nothing.
Yeah, right. A long way to go yet.
Yeah, he's really good. Yeah. Matto, Ed and Robbie.
We didn't go back to Matt now.
On the new Triple M.
6-time premiership winner, Origin coach, Kevvy Walters. Morning, mate.
Good morning. How are we going?
Well, we're a man down here, mate. Our 2-time Logie winner is away.
Oh, what's happened to Ed? What's he?
Well, he claims it's the flu. But we kind of think he's still, you know, cracking it on from the Logies.
Yeah, he doesn't drink. Yeah. We think he might have broken the seal on that one. And you've seen that happen, haven't you?
Oh, I certainly have, Marto, and likewise with you, Kemp.
When you're not fit.
Imagine. So, Well, you've got to do what you've got to do, haven't you? Hey.
All right. Well, we're here. I know you've got a busy time at the moment, but you're watching so much footy, whether it's with Fox Sports or with your job with the Origin. I've got a whiteboard in here, mate, that's troubling me. Robin, do you want to tell him what the story is?
Okay. So, Kevvy, he's been really unhappy, probably for about 2 weeks, about the State of Origin, the Queensland State of Origin team, because normally at this time he's very clear about who's going to be in the team and how well we're going to win.
Kevvy, how many would we normally have? Absolute rock solid certainties by this time. 15?
Yeah, probably 15 or 16, Marto, yeah.
I've only got 7 with ticks against them on my whiteboard. What's your whiteboard looking like?
My whiteboard's got a few more names on it than yours by the sound of it.
Well, can I run through it and just say, yes, here's my certainty. Slater in 1, Boyd in 5, Thurston in 6, Cooper in 7, Smith in 9, Thiaday in 11, and Gillett in 12. They're the only rock solids.
Right. What about Maguire?
Yeah, is he a rock solid for you?
He's on your possibles. You've put that on your possibles.
What are you putting him as? A lock or a prop?
Well, we've got to sort that out. But he'll have a number on his back, whether it's 13, 8.
Just give them a little 10, tick on the right hand side, or, Maguire. Does Guerra get a little tick?
Guerra is going to get he's going to get a tick as well.
What about Wallace?
We're going to have to blood some new ones. So the new ones. That we're trying to introduce to the Origin are a bit fearful of game one.
Yeah.
Not fearful, but mindful, you know, of how important it is to win, you know, game one or get off to the series off to a good start. So
put an X against Wallace for game one. Miles?
Some new ones, though. Milesy? Yeah, he's an Origin pro, mate.
After being like crap, no, I think he's got a tick. Is he going to start or do we tick him for the bench?
Well, we've got to sort that one out, Marto. But,
Napa?
Well, another one that we're looking at to blood. Yeah, he's been in the system for several times. So as long as he's fit and healthy, he's going to be thereabouts, isn't he?
Can I just ask, do these players actually know this yet? Or are you telling us stuff that they haven't been told?
All the players are aware of the situation. We've actually got a dinner. I'm going to Sydney this afternoon. We've got for the Queenslanders Only show followed by a dinner with all the Sydney-based Origin players. So you know, Mal started this years ago where he'd get the Sydney-based players together, because there's lots said about all the Brisbane and the Queenslanders and the up at the Cowboys and, you know, down at the Titans and the Melbourne Storm connection, but the Sydney guys sort of don't get a lot of love. So we're going down to Sydney this afternoon to share a bit of love.
Is there a curfew?
No. I learned about curfews in January of 2016 that they don't work, brother. So I haven't put a curfew on since.
So, Kevy, when it comes to people trying to get into the Origin team, do you ever get players ringing you or sending you random gifts?
No, we don't. They understand that the only way into this Origin side is to play good football, and particularly if you're coming in as a new person. We have been very tolerant of others in the past, and Queensland have. If players are not playing so well at club level, but we know they're an Origin player. And that's happened, you know, from the year dot when we pulled Arthur Beetson out of reserve grade to lead the Origin side out in 1980. He was playing reserve grade in the Sydney competition, but was good enough to captain Queensland and win that. So that's been the tradition of Queensland, as long as you're out there playing, you know.
I just got three other holes. Can you just tick, tick, tick? Gagai, O'Neill, Chambers.
Yep.
Tick, tick, tick.
Okay.
Well, that's filled me.
Looks like a full board.
Thank God. Man, this has been weeks in the making.
I'm nervous. I can see why Mal handed you the job, mate.
Yes,
we'll watch you tonight, mate.
Kevin Walters, Maroons coach, Queenslanders only. It is tonight on Fox League following League Life. Thanks so much, Kevy.
Yes, and fill that whiteboard in, Marta.
Cheers, mate. I feel a lot happier since talking to you.
See you, Kevy.
All right. See you, Rob. Big names in your
workplace. All right, it is time for if you're working away and a famous person walks into your workplace. We've got room. Anyone got a Bronco sighting? We're always...
desperate now, aren't you?
Well, Ed's not here, so I definitely want to run one if we can. But who are we starting with, Rob?
John of Zilmia. Who is the big name and where were you working?
I was working at Tangalooma and the big name was Lincoln Lewis. And he was out there with the Home and Away cast. And I had the pleasure of taking him on a quad tour with one of my mates. And we got to chat with him for about half an hour.
Nice guy.
Great guy. And, what can I say? It was probably one of the highlights of my time out there. And we spent about an hour and a half on the tour.
What a place to work.
Yeah, it was a great place. I have good memories. 6 years there.
Six years.
I think the highlight of the tour for me was the fact that he left his mates to come up and talk with us for about half an hour.
Yeah. And mate, he's Wally's son. He's a normal. He seems like a really normal, knocking about bloke.
Yeah, and they actually come out there probably once a year, him and Wally, and they have a week out there usually.
Great
place. Yeah, it is a great place.
Don't tell 30 people, John. It's the best place in southeast Queensland. John,
mate,
how did you go with? Did you do much fraternisation with females while you were working over there?
To be honest, mate, I only had one girlfriend when I was over there, but I spent most of my time fishing and kayaking.
Code.
There you go.
That's code. I know.
That's a euphemism.
Yeah. Thanks, John.
Clive of Caboolture, big name. Who was it, and where do you work?
I was Darren Lehman, and I worked for Solomon's Flooring at Stafford.
Oh, I know it very well. Okay. So I think Wolf Lehman lives not far from me at Newmarket. I know that because I've seen him at the McDonald's.
Yep.
Now, I could have done this segment myself. What happened?
Oh, he just came in the shop. Him and his wife looking for floor tiles and looking at carpets, and I had a good chat to him, and we've done a bit of work for him before at the Sunshine Coast. So,
but what was he up? He didn't know whether he wanted tiles or carpet.
Oh, they were looking at both, looking at doing their bathroom and the bedrooms with carpets.
Okay. Did you get onto the test team or anything?
Yeah. I talked to him about he's going to England in next month, and then after that they're going to Bangladesh. I think it is.
Mm.
Tour over there.
What would you have asked him?
See, what I'm interested in is who made the final decision. Was it him or his wife?
The wife.
Yeah, of course. Nice. Do you know her name?
Sorry?
Do you know her name?
I can't remember offhand, no.
Mrs.
Sorry.
Wolf's missus.
Wolf's missus will do. Thank you, Clive.
Thanks,
moment.
Clive. Luke of Willawong. Who did you see?
The turtle, Greg Kaneski.
Greg Kineski, former Origin hooker, former Broncos hooker. That was just for Robin's sake, Luke.
Yeah, Robin's got no idea.
Now, and why is he called the turtle?
Turtle? Yeah, why is he called the turtle?
Anyway, Luke, what were you
on
doing?
His back, I don't know.
Oh, I run a fabrication company, and he came in and he's trying to hire me a couple of boom lifts and EWPs. So naturally, I obliged, but no, good fella. He's doing well for himself.
Mate, he used to have, you know, opposite Breakfast Creek, they used to have that, they had a restaurant over there, the Breakfast Creek, or whatever it was. So he got out of that. So what's he selling, boom lifts?
Yeah, mate. Yeah. Running the high game. Loves it.
Good one.
Okay, so you knew who he was as soon as he walked in?
Of course.
What were your first words? Turtle! were they?
Yeah, no, it was something along those lines, mate. I was a bit flustered when I saw him, and you know, running into a grade of the game, mate. You know, what do you do?
Well, did you talk Origin?
Yeah, look, he got plenty of stories, but he had to move on pretty quick. I think he was worried I'd be like a groupie and just get too attached to him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. You're
okay,
tight.
Be honest. Is that why you hired the stuff or bought the stuff off him? Because it was who he was?
No. Okay, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
I reckon that he'd be relying on that every time he walked
looking
into
top
a business.
Greg Kinescu. Let's see if we can do it. Jules from Redland Bay. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah. Well, who was the celebrity?
Well, my granddad went to England and he had four Royal Command performances because he was an illusionist, ventriloquist, puppeteer and magician.
Wow.
And then he won the Houdini Prize, so he went to work with Houdini at the London Palladium and the Godian. So he was with him and his wife, Betty. And they travelled around Europe together and they went to North America and they also worked there at the World's Fair.
That is cool.
Hanging around with Houdini. All right, tell us one of his favourite stories from your granddad about Houdini. Like, I suppose they would have carried each other in suitcases and all that sort of hijinks.
Well, one of the tricks that granddad would do, and my dad carried the act on when my grandparents came back to Australia, obviously, is granddad would have... It was called the thumb tie trick, baffling thumb tie trick, and he would show this pair of twine from forget about the handcuffs, Marto. Everyone knows what you like.
Twine
like you'd have on blinds. So they'd tie Granddad's thumbs up, and then they'd come out with these six hoops, and his hands were tied together with the twine, and they'd throw the hoops at him, and what he'd actually do is catch the hoops, and they'd gum up his arms. So then he'd get Houdini and one of the other fellows from the audience to grab the hoops, and then they just he'd say a few magic words like Simba or Sim, and the hands would go up and down, and he'd pull his hands straight through the hoops.
Guess you really had to see it though, Jules.
you did indeed.
Before television kiddies, this is what
this
people
is
used
what
to
happened.
Do. Of course. Hey, Jules, your grandfather did it. Are you an illusionist?
Yes. I've only done one show myself, but I carry on the puppets for him, so I'm happy to do that.
So what do you do for a full-time job?
I work for the gas company.
Everyone's
going to have a real job.
You betcha. I'm still waiting for mine.
I bet you can break into locks really well.
No, I can't really. They stuck me on stage when I was three doing it. So it was the most interesting profession to see your parents do. Dad got friendly with Reg Grundy and all the people at Channel 9 and Joy Chambers. He was on I've Got a Secret. So but the thing is, it set him up for life.
There you go. Pick those names off the floor, Jules. Mate, you don't have to say any more. Don't drop any more names. You've won. Brisbane Lions taking on Port Adelaide this Saturday at the Gabba. Ticketmaster.com.au for tickets. You win, Jules. Well done.
Thank you. But could somebody else go?
Oh. Sure.
My wife's got to go. She's going overseas, so I won't be able to go, I'm afraid. You can give it to the...
That's okay. It's gone to John from Zilmere. Well done, Jules.
Twitter has blown up
What's happened?
Things like from Christy, I have no words to describe how stupid Gus Gould's comments are.
Yeah.
Or the other one, what about Gus Gould? He should be shut up for good.
Gee, I like those people. That's a great call.
Anyway, it's because...
Shut up, Gus, is one of the most commonly said things on a Sunday afternoon. Shut up, Gus. But what's he done?
Okay, well, this was a comment he made during one of the games yesterday.
The girls aren't watching the footy. They don't care. They're talking about other things.
And that's what everyone's blown up about, because there's the kind of assumption on Twitter that he's talking about the girls don't like football. And they're upset about that because Rugby League has spent a huge amount of time and money over the last 10 years trying to engage women in the game. And one throwaway comment from Gus is dissing the fact that chicks don't like rugby league.
Can I confirm that? Fox Sports, there are so many girls. Well, there's an all-girls rugby league show on Fox League. There's a whole channel devoted to rugby league, if you're not clear on this, on Fox Sports. Whole 24-hour channel. It's amazing. It's going really well. But they know that girls are the next driver. Because they've reached saturation point. Everyone who wants to watch league on Fox has already got it. So they can't get any more subscribers. They go, where else can we get people to pay for Fox Sports? They go, girls. So they've had a mad push to try to be friendly to females, to get them to accept the game and to love the game and therefore get Fox Sports. Because at the moment, Fox Sports is a bloke thing. So they're very conscious that girls need to come on board.
The thing I find frustrating, if that's the right word, about Gus Gould and those comments is that how antiquated they are and also how sexist. Like, who do you think the majority, I mean, a lot of guys take their kids to the footy, but for a family to decide for a child to play rugby league, that is usually the mum has a very big say in whether they want their kids to do that. And to kind
Which surprises me. Brendan knows it because Brendan supports the Panthers. They were the first team to introduce
the pink jerseys,
weren't they?
Well, they are
women in league round, yeah.
Pink Panthers.
Pink Panthers, yeah.
That would make sense.
No, normally they're the chocolate soldiers because they melt under pressure. Oh, that's what they're always called, correct? So females are up Gus Gould.
Yeah, majorly. And one in particular is Mary. She is the founder of Ladies of League. Hello, Mary.
Good morning. How are you all?
Yeah, fine. Thank you. What do you think about Gus Gould?
Look, the thing about Gus's comments is maybe they weren't a big deal. Maybe they're being taken slightly out of context. But the reality is if the camera had been on two men having a chat while play had stopped, I don't think he would have made those comments. And look, Gus has a history of making comments about women who play rugby league as well.
Oh, so has he?
Yeah, he does. And for a man that has such influence in our game to be making comments like this, it's just not good enough.
Are you a passionate rugby league supporter, Mary?
I'm a passionate rugby league supporter. I love the Parramatta Eels and work closely with a number of the NRL clubs. I sit on the NRL's Women in League subcommittee. And I'm passionate about not only women who support the game, but also women involved in the game. I heard you all speaking about Fox NRL, and you've got women like Yvonne Sampson and Lara Pitt heavily involved. You've got Marina Go and Rebecca Frizzell sitting in our boardrooms. You've got Raylene Castle leading the Bulldogs. You've got Casey Badger as an NRL referee. Women are everywhere in our game, everywhere.
And it's the future of growth, isn't it?
Absolutely it is, particularly with our Gillaroos doing so well. They're playing in a World Cup at the end of the year. New South Wales and Queensland recently made joint announcements that there is now a pathway for under-6 girls to play all the way up to under-18. So women are the future of our game and a very important part of rugby league.
Man, I wish I could take some of your knowledge and implant it into my brain because then I could have better conversations with Marto about football.
Well, look, maybe it's worth following the Twitter account. We also do a podcast as well, which focuses on rugby league, but we also do a lot of work with women in sport too.
Listen, hold on, I've just got the full grab of what Gus said. Just have a listen to this, Mary. Have you got it?
Yeah.
Yeah, play it.
Still complaining, eh? Well, we're on the other side. We're fine.
I understand.
But it got very dark. The lights really started to take effect. It looked beautiful. And then there it is. Look at this. See? The girls aren't watching the footy. They don't care. They're talking about other things.
So the blokes, they're talking about two couples. The blokes were watching the footy and the girls were having a chat. So he's really just talking about those two girls, you would hope, wouldn't you, Mary?
Yeah, look, I would absolutely hope that, but I still just don't think the comments need to be made. I think they're a bit ordinary, to be honest.
I'm with you. Anyone who has a go at Phil Gould's a mate of mine.
Thanks, Mary.
No worries. Have a great day, guys.
On you, Mary, of founder of Ladies Who League.
Ladies
of League. The thing is, though, she's right. If two blokes were having a chat, you would assume, Gus Gould would assume that they were just talking about the footy. Whereas because
he wouldn't care, he wouldn't make a comment.
He wouldn't even make a comment, and I guess that's the point.
Yep.
How amazing was yesterday down at the Dawn service? It's the first time I've ever gone. And I've done the Kenmore local one, which usually starts about 9 o'clock, and my kids have always marched in that one.
I've done the Gaythorne and the Sanford one before, but
Redcliffe's down sounds good.
And Sandgate's down are really good. All over Brisbane there were people doing. I think there was one at Clare. They were everywhere. Don't even what they're individualising. But the one at Anzac Square, there had to be 8,000 to 10,000 people maybe there.
I reckon. And they were absolutely pouring in from about 3:45. And we were lucky enough to be quite close to the cenotaph. And we were obviously viewing and taking part in the ceremonies. But afterwards, it was the ability to go and chat to all these amazing people. So what they did, they had barricades up. And then as soon as everything was over and the official stuff was done, they brought the barricades down. And people were lining up and waiting to go into the cenotaph. And, you know, all of them had their own
personal stories.
Remind
everyone, the cenotaph's the 16-pillared thing directly over the road from Central Station.
Yeah, and the Sofitel.
The Eternal Flame.
Yeah, so that, and they had, all the officials had laid their wreaths, but then individuals were going up and having their own quiet reflections. And one of the guys that came off the cenotaph, and we both noticed him, was this amazingly well-dressed man.
Wasn't he impeccable?
He was absolutely impeccable. We were guessing he was probably in his 70s.
Beret. Yeah. 70, you reckon he was?
I reckon. Well, anyway, we had a chat and this is his story.
Hi, Vic. We noticed you before. You've got all your medals on and you went up to the cenotaph. What's this morning mean to you?
Well, it's very sad. I was with 161 Independent Recce Flight in Vietnam. We were a reconnaissance unit. And we lost our three pilots, so it's always a very sad time. I've been coming to the dawn service, you know, for the last probably 15 years, and I reflect on those times.
Where was your unit from? Was it a Brisbane unit?
We were formed up at Amberley, out at the Air Force Base, and that's where the Army Aviation started. And eventually went out to Oakey.
Vic, I've got three sons and they asked me this morning, and they're here and they're 12, 15 and 17. And they said to me, what was it like to be in the war? And I don't know how to answer that question, but you do. What would you say?
You take every day as it comes. Some are not so good. Some days are very bad. And you make the best of what you have at the time. I can't say much more than that.
Vic, if you were conscripted, can I just check, was there a feeling of resentment at any time?
Yes, particularly when the way we were treated initially, when we came home, whilst we were there, you know, there were issues with getting plies over there. I won't go any deeper into that story, but there's a lot being commented on that.
But we all know the stories about when he came home and people, you know, virtually, it was a disgraceful treatment of you guys. But now you have a look around and go, wow, everyone's been braced, like the community seems to embrace us. The change, do you find that the most amazing thing?
It certainly is. And just yesterday I attended a service at my granddaughter's primary school, and just to see the young ones, and there's a lot of young ones here, that's the shift, I think, that is marvellous for all.
It's become a nicer place, hasn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is. And, you know, we're getting to that age, we've got the roller skates on and we're heading downhill very fast.
Some of the songs, like we play songs on our radio station, like K-San and Only 19 by Red Gum, do they mean anything to you?
Oh, God, yeah. You lock in.
Well, Vic, you saw the numbers of people, and Robin and I, and actually everyone listening, want to say thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Monday, we were sort of going, I think a lot of people took the Aussie Easter, the 4-day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We asked the question, it was about 6 o'clock in the morning, and young Ben rang up and said, no, I'm at work.
Yeah, mate, just rolled up at a job site. I'm an apprentice sparky with a wife, two kids and a mortgage to pay, and the boss is the one that's been chucking all the sickies with all the public holidays. So been struggling to make ends meet because of the short week. So
what does that mean to you? You can't work if the boss doesn't work.
Yeah, so I've had to chase around some other contractors and work direct with them just to make ends meet over these short weeks.
Shouldn't you get a fixed rate as an apprentice?
Well, you're a trader yourself, so you know what happens in small businesses. They can't really afford to pay you full days when there's rain days and stuff.
Mate, when I was an apprentice, my boss went overseas for 3 months on a holiday and I had to find my own work.
Yeah, that's right. Makes it pretty hard for you.
You sound like an older guy too, Ben. So you've come to being a sparky later?
Yeah, I was an IT guy for over 17 years. and decided to make the career change because I couldn't do 18 hours a day, 7 days a week anymore.
See, now I have such respect for people like that who have the courage to change their careers because for whatever reason it's not working for them. I am of the beast that I've done exactly the same thing for 25 years and hopefully will end out my career doing radio because it's the only thing I've ever wanted to do.
Well, you're happy, but the thing is, he wouldn't have been happy. I can remember when I did a university degree. I never talk about it, but I did human movements, which allowed me to be, God, a phys ed teacher or as an exercise physiologist. So I worked in a gym for a year. I just went, what's going to happen? When I'm about 40, I'll have a gut. You know, if I was teaching and I didn't want to do that.
But were you playing at that time?
Yeah. So it sort of fitted in. So, but then a bloke at my footy club offered me a job as a stockbroker. Had nothing to do with anything I'd ever done. So for a year, I was a stockbroker.
Okay, and a wallaby.
Yeah.
Or had that finished?
Yeah, no, still playing for Wallabies, stockbroker. And then a year as a stockbroker, okay, and I went away on a tour. And he sort of, and I said, oh, well, I can't go away for 4 months. I went to Argentina and played. I came back and that's when I became a carpenter.
And you did your apprenticeship.
And finally became happy.
At what age? What's time?
I started apprenticeship at 26.
Wow. And then how'd you fall into radio?
I did a reno. I should tell you that story one day. I did a reno on the bloke that used to have this job. Remember Dean Miller?
Yes.
I did his reno. I didn't know him from Moses. Did his reno.
For real?
No, this is a long story. Yeah.
That's how you got into story. Radio.
I can't do this on radio.
Yes, you can. That's all right, fascinating.
All right, I'll tell you this. I'll sidetrack completely. I know what we're talking about. All right, so I'm doing the reno, and we weren't even listening to Triple M. We were listening to the Youth Network, all right?
Right.
And we started listening to Triple M because we found out he worked for Triple M. And so what he was doing, he'd bring a few beers home every day at lunchtime because he finished work after doing the breakfast show, and he'd give them, we'd have two or three beers and stand around at the end of the day's work at 3 o'clock. And we tell him stories. He used to bring the stories onto radio the next day. And then the boss said, who's this builder doing your place? And they said, oh, a bloke called Greg Martin. Next thing you know, within 4 months, I was working on radio.
And that's why you're
just doing radio.
That's why you're here today.
And still can't get rid of me.
So forward your complaints to Dean Miller. Dean Miller.
He's on the telly still on Channel 7, so you can find him.
We were going to talk something else. What happened when you changed careers?
Well, because you are a test case to that, and that is so fascinating. And there must be other people who have done a complete 360, changed it, you know, thought they were going one way and then changed direction for whatever reason.
I'd love to talk to them.
Very interested. I reckon if Ed was here, he'd be one of those guys with multiple. I have to ask him when he comes back, when he stops being fluid.
Hold on. He went from the video store. I'll tell you whether he's not here.
What
was
that?
Seagaworld was the first one.
Seagaworld video store. What else? Oh, I used to sell soft drinks at the footy.
Yeah, that was a good one.
And then what does he do now?
Well, he's a comedian. Like he does TV and he wins Logies.
He's a Logie winner.
He's a Logie winner. That's an occupation.
Oh, if anyone's wondering, Ed's not with us today. Of course, he got caught up in a Logie shotgun fever. Breakfast straight after he marched at Anzac Day.
We can say whatever we like. Yeah, he's just not
two
here.
Two up, lost all his money.
Of Browns Plains, tell us what happened when you changed jobs.
Well, yeah, I used to sit in an office doing marketing and promotions at East Leagues at Cooperoo there. Oh. And I was just used to watch the blokes outside and go, man, I wish I was out there doing what they were doing, like the gardening. You watch the gardeners, you know, do all the hedges and stuff. And I wish I was out there doing that. So I gave it up 3 years ago and bought myself a Graham's Garden Care franchise and haven't looked back since.
I haven't heard of the Graham's Garden Care, but it's getting a good run right now, Graham's Garden Care. Hey, who's
like
Graham?
GMP and all those other ones. Oh, he's just a bloke that started up like Jim's, you know, years ago and he sold it off and now it's just a big franchise mob.
So what was it, Leon? Was it the fact that they were kind of working, you know, getting their hands dirty, they were doing manual stuff and you were behind a computer?
I used to get a bit stressed out and it was just the type of, you know, I didn't mind the place I worked or the people and stuff. It was just the, you know, being in that sort of cold aircon all day behind a screen, you know, it was getting unfit, unhealthy and... Now, I haven't been sick in 3 years, you know.
Are you happy?
I'm outside every day. Oh, mate, so happy. And the wife agrees too, you know. Oh. She's seen such a massive change. I get home early, I pick up the kids from work, from school and, you know, make dinner and stuff. And
you smell of
grass. Before, I used to see the kids for an hour before bedtime when I get home and, you know. 20 minutes in the morning now, it's so different and things are so much better. Yeah,
I'm so happy for you, Leon. Can you remind, just tell Robin, if you remember, what's the carpet at the East Leagues Club?
Mate, I remember you saying that the other day. It's not the Tiger anymore. They actually changed many years ago after they got flooded. They got flooded in one of the big downpours one time, so they had to rip it all up and change.
It was like walking on a tiger, wasn't it?
Yeah, they had all that in there. Yeah, big blue carpet with a big tiger in there.
I'm so happy for you, Leon.
Now he could do that with a hedge.
Yeah, yeah. Topiary. Thanks, have we got anyone else?
Yeah, Beck of Wellington, Wellington Point. Tell us, what's happened? Did you change jobs?
No, it wasn't me. And welcome, Robin, by the way.
Thanks,
good to hear
Beck.
You. Oh, been late now, Beck, but yeah.
Oh, I'll take it, Beck. Thank you. Ignore him.
No, it was my parents. They started out in Brisbane. My dad was an electrician and mum used to be like his receptionist and bookkeeper and everything.
Yeah.
Then they decided to move to Gympie and buy 300 acres and be farmers. So they moved up there and did small crops, so beans, button squash, all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Then they decided, no, that's too much, so they did ladyfinger bananas.
Ooh.
Then the bananas got a disease that you can't get rid of, so we converted the shed, sold all the machinery, and bred tropical aquarium fish.
Yeah, that's just a natural progression.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, did they make a living out of all of those incarnations?
Yeah, yep, yep. The fish was the hardest. I can remember as a kid we could never leave the farm because someone had to be there 24 hours a day. Because if the power went out,
keep an eye on fish.
The fish would die.
Oh, Beck. Yeah, of course. So what were you supposed to do if the power went out?
Start the generator.
Ah.
The old man's a sparky.
Who's watching the Mexican fighting fish?
Yeah, they had a lot of really expensive breeding pairs and everything. And during the winter, we'd have to get up in the middle of the night and stoke the fire because we put a fire in the shed to help heat the tanks rather than individual heaters.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So it was never ending all night. You'd have to get up. Dad would go up.
The fish have got to get in the mood, have they?
Yeah.
To breed.
Yeah. But then they kept going because then after they it become too hard, too difficult. My grandparents were getting too old to help and my grandfather passed away and whatnot. And so then, oddly enough, we sold up the farm, moved 10 kilometres down the road and Mum went into real estate.
Okay.
And then
of course
Dad
you did.
Dad started making tropical aquarium fish food flake.
Okay.
There you go.
Couldn't let it go.
That's enough, Beck.
Couldn't let the aquarium
go. Well done, Beck. Thank you very much.
Comprehensive life.
Yeah.
Paul of Racebeard. What happened? What happened when you changed jobs?
Hey, young campers. I was a truckie for quite a few years, and at the age of 37, I thought, I'll become a copper. That's a go. So I became a copper for 10 years, and I thought, nah, I'll go and be a truckie again. A lot easier.
What?
So,
wow.
So I just went around in complete circles.
Oh. Okay.
Can I ask, when you were a copper, were you leaning in on truckies?
I could have turned the other way for a couple of things. Yeah, yeah. Well, you got the power of discretion.
Yeah, good.
You know how hard it is from that side of the fence, but you're always going to beat your spoons in all sorts of places.
So what's the money like comparing truckie to copper?
I make better money now than I did as a copper.
Wow. Is that right?
The rate's gone up now, though. You know, the folks have been treated a lot better now. But, it was just the paperwork. Jeez. When you start losing your sense of humour, trying to move on to another career.
I reckon cops should actually drive around in trucks. Wouldn't that be funny? Oh. Good chase.
Monster truck.
Good chase.
And if you don't stop, they run over you. Can we just go through the reporter's detail of that fire, boat fire down the coast yesterday?
The 25-foot Bertram had just fueled up at the Runaway Bay Marina when the 19-year-old son stepped onto the flybridge. The engine exploded, catapulting the hatch into the air. Luckily, another boat was coming into dock, redirecting to rescue the duo.
Did they get to take anything with them?
No, they quickly scrambled around the front and that was it. There was no time to muck around.
Yeah. They were calling him a boatie hero. That voice, you heard it then, that was Dave, mate of mine, and Shazzy, his wife, cuts Kath hair. I just went, whoa, they rang him, and Dave went, oh, yeah, I don't really want to come on radio. Well.
Tough luck, mate. You're here. Hey, Dave, thanks for talking to us.
Good morning. How are you all?
Yeah. Now, what happened, mate? So you're down there in your boat. Tell it as you saw it.
Okay. We were just coming into, at the end of the day, coming into actually Runaway Bay Marina just to berth our boat, and it had just come off the fuel station there, about 30 metres off the actual marina. We were just waiting for it to come out for us to go in. All of a sudden, a bit of a pop, flames popping up out the back. The two fellas get up to the top of the flybridge and they're a little bit trapped, really. And we were a bit stunned. We were going, whoa, did you see that? Then they whipped around the front of their boat. They just kept drifting out away.
They were trying to run away from the fire.
Well, they had to. They quickly sort of scurried around the edge of the fly bridge on the top of the boat, got onto the bow of their boat, and we just started motoring in towards them. I picked up a fire extinguisher on our boat, just and looked at the flames and just put it back down. You know, that would have been useless. Sharon grabbed the broom, and as we pulled up to the bow of their boat, she put the broom out. They probably thought Chaz was going to hit him one. But no, we just pulled the bow of the boat in. They jumped on, and we've quickly backed on out of there. And within about 20 seconds, the whole boat was just gone, you know, it completely engulfed.
Weren't you worried, though, that coming so close to it that you might have caught fire yourselves?
Didn't really know, you know, how to react to it. Just in we went. It wasn't sort of a big deal on our behalf. We actually got a little bit closer and said, jump and get them and pick you up.
Yeah, they did well not to have to hit the drink.
Yeah, I think just with the boat drifting and a few things, I think it was just best to get in there and get them off. So they were two happy chappies to be on our boat. But poor guys, they were just blown out looking at their beautiful boat going down. I think it was a 27 Bertram.
So how much would that be worth?
Oh, I don't know. It was his man cave. It's priceless.
Oh, dear.
What do you mean? Did he used to... Where were they? Were they Gold Coast people that kept it out in front of their house?
Gold Coast people, they just filled it up, had a full tank of fuel.
So they must have spilled some and something's gone, something sparked it.
Yeah, don't know. Old boat, don't know. So,
funny day.
Thank God you were there.
Bad luck for those guys too, I suppose. But within half an hour, it was the fires were there within no time at all.
Hey.
And it just came out of the marina and sort of drifted up onto this little beach, and the fires just got straight into it. There was nothing left of the boat, but fires put her out. They just soaked it, and it was out within probably half an hour.
So what do you do with those two? I think on the news they said they were father and son. Did you drop them off and say, see you later?
Yeah, we dropped them back to the marina.
That's it. Sort
of kept in touch with them a little bit. I think their wife was just coming to pick them up, and that was the end of their day.
Oh, well, you're all over the news last night and again
well done,
this morning. So well done, Dave.
No problem. Hey, Marto, anytime you want to come out in the boat.
Yeah. Yeah, mate, if you can promise an adventure like that, I'm on.
Yeah.
Oh, Golden Point Rugby League yesterday afternoon, Roosters game.
It was
Roosters
exciting. V-Dragons.
It was bloody exciting, but it made the news. This is 6:07. We're supposed to be halfway through the news, and Rabs are still talking.
Here comes the kick. Mitchell's got it away, and he likes it.
It was wonderful, wasn't it? Oh, that was great. Like, to do everything that we did, start and end at the dawn service, I went and played cricket, and then you get two games of rugby league. I think I was playing Scrabble during one. What, just one of the great days.
God, was it? Were you drinking beer in between?
I did have a couple late, not in the middle. Who's that? Who's ringing?
That's Kyle.
Kyle, what can we help you with?
I'm ringing up about the Origin centres. Oh, it'll be Will Chambers, one centre,
yes.
And Darius Boyd will be the other because Billy Slater will be playing fullback if he's fit and healthy.
This has come from nowhere. I know I did want to chat, but not right now. But why wouldn't Darius Boyd be on the wing? Robin, would you prefer him on the wing?
All I know, Marto, is this has been keeping you up at night. Mm. We even have a whiteboard with the names on it and the numbers. So, Kyle, if you can assist with Marto, that would be great for my mental health.
We got Kevy on just before 8. We'll run it by him. Thanks, mate.
Righto.
Yeah, Carl.
Okay.
Now, listen, where was I?
Anytime anyone wants to bring in with an Origin update for Marto, that will help me from having to talk to him about it during songs.
It's not for me, it's for us.
Okay.
It's for Queensland.
Just saying.
The last post. You love the last post.
Now, over the weekend, how many games of rugby league were there? 8. Mm-hmm. There were 8 games. Well, over the whole weekend, there were 8 games of AFL. There were 7 games of rugby. Before every one of those, and I reckon I watched 12 to 13 games over the weekend from Friday through to yesterday, I was at three different events live where they did the last post and also the two national anthems. Like, when did they start doing the New Zealand national anthem as well as the Australian? I'm happy with it.
But I think they've been doing it for a fair while. But what made me laugh is...
Are we sure? They have been doing the New Zealand national anthem on Anzac Day for all those football games.
Yeah. Okay. And we finish with ours because it's kind of rousing and everyone gets into it.
But tell everyone what happened yesterday morning.
Well, they played the, what do you mean? What part of what happened yesterday morning?
The second part of the national anthem our national anthem.
What was funny is because the New Zealand national anthem goes the first verse in Maori and then it's sung in English. Oh. I reckon everyone went, oh, mate, we better put the second verse in Australian.
We weren't impressive enough, were we?
No, we weren't. So we needed
to. But no one knows the words of that second verse.
Oh, no, kids do now. Yeah, I know them because... Because I've sung them at assembly, because my children, you know, beneath their...
You know what I noticed yesterday for the last time? God, all right, what are they? Go on.
Beneath our radiant southern cross, we toil with hearts and hands.
Oh my God, you're too great.
Is common wealth of ours. We could go all day.
Yeah. All right.
Do you want the fifth?
No.
No. Is there a fifth?
Oh, it goes forever.
All right. So during the football games, I've noticed, you know, when they do the last post thing, you know, this noise, you know, the... you know,
it's beautiful.
I've heard this 15 times over the weekend.
It's amazing.
And then this. All right. And now it's time to be quiet, okay?
A minute silence.
A minute. But yesterday at the dawn service, it was 2 minutes. Because I count each time, I've been wondering how long it goes for. So that guy on the bugle, he must count to 60. But yesterday at the dawn, and it's terrible. I'm a fidgeter.
I did notice.
Oh, I can't stand still. And I was worried. I noticed at the footy last night. All right, over the weekend, I noticed, because where was I? I was in Perth the other day. That's when you find out how many kids are unhappy to be at the football, because you can hear there's always kids crying. Have a look at this. This is the other night. I think this is the Broncos game. This is in the minute silence. People can't help themselves. Come on, mate. You don't need to. All right, so that's that. All right, let that one go. That was during the Broncos game.
Those
all right, last
poor
night,
parents.
Bloody Kiwis. I like them, but they really can't help themselves. Last night, the Storm versus the Warriors, big pre-match thing. I don't know if you watched it. It was a magnificent affair. But the minute silence there. Have a listen. There was a bloke who just wanted to do a haka.
Oh, buddy.
And then there was still 20 seconds to go. And then he just, that one bloke would go, holiday! And they all started.
You know what he said?
Oh, shut up. It's only 1 minute, mate.
Yeah, we can't do it.